If you're single, be single. I'm talking to women here. If you're single, be single and don't worry about your life as a woman in a relationship. If a man wants to marry you, he will make it apparent to you. And I will add that just because a man wants to marry you does not mean that you need to tell him yes. So I recently created something called How You Self-Sabotage. More specifically, the 5 ways unmarried women self-sabotage and how to stop. And the 5 main points all tied together to help you to feel more empowered in your singlehood. And for clarification purposes, this is also for girlfriends and fiancés. I'm not devaluing your relationship with the person that you're committed to. But I want you to understand that just because you're dating someone, just because you're engaged to that person, does not mean that you need to be acting like their wife, because you're not their wife until you're their wife. Do you need to be considerate of them? Absolutely. Do you need to show them that you're interested in them? Absolutely. But there's a fine line that we don't want to cross. And there are ways that we definitely devalue ourselves and sabotage ourselves when we are still single women. So one of the more important things that I talk about is being overly accommodating. This is a slippery slope, because when you're overly accommodating, you very quickly turn yourself into a personal doormat for other people. It can come off as being you just want to be a good person, you just want to be there for people. And I'm not telling you not to do those things. I'm not telling you not to be a person who is willing and able to help other people. What I'm saying is you don't want to do it to a fault. And you don't want to do it in a way that you stop accommodating yourself. You don't want to do it in a way where you're being nice to other people. So now, like we talked about previously, you can't be kind to yourself. And that's really what the issue is. We should focus on being kind people, not always trying to be nice and good people. Because people are going to call you a good person as long as you're doing good by them. But if I'm not doing good by myself, and I'm doing good by you, I'm still not a good person. So good is also kind of a relative term that people toss around when they feel like you're doing things that are okay for them and accommodating for them. So you really need to focus on just being kind. Be kind to yourself, be kind to other people, and say no when you can't actually do something, right? So this is so important, because we don't want to turn into people pleasers. And as I mentioned, one of the things that happens is we start to look at ourselves as this person who has to do everything for everyone. And it's really not healthy, because we can't do everything for everyone. We don't have the capacity to do that. And so when we try to start doing everything for everyone, we stop showing up for ourselves. And we all know we can't pour from an empty cup. So you really want to make sure that you are not being a person who is too accommodating for other people. The other thing that we talk about with this is committing to unworthy men. Also, there is a video of this if you prefer to watch this on video. The commentary is not going to be exactly the same, but the major points will be the same. It is on YouTube, and it's actually called The 5 Ways Unmarried Women Sabotage Themselves. So the second thing is committing to unworthy men. And I had to say, this does not mean an unworthy man is not always a terrible man, a bad man, an abusive man. He's just unworthy of your attention and your commitment. And an unworthy man, by definition of what we're talking about here, is a man who has not made a commitment to you. He's not married to you. He may have proposed. He may have said, "Will you be my girlfriend?" And all those things are great. But if that man has not married you, you do not need to commit yourself wholeheartedly to that man. Again, do you need to show interest? Yes. Do you need to be considerate? Yes. Do you need to be kind to that man and show him that you actually do care about him? Absolutely. But you can do all of those things without pretending to be his wife. You can buy him gifts for his birthday. You can plan a date every now and then. You can do nice things for him. If you feel called to pack him a lunch, go for it. But you are not his wife in a way that you need to overextend and overburden yourself to make his life better every single day. That's not your husband. And I think that this is where we get carried away. We get in these relationships and we start to be so accommodating to men that have not committed themselves to us. A ring is great, but it's not a commitment. A ring is a sign that he will commit to you. The marriage is the commitment, okay? Him asking you to be his boyfriend is great. I mean, his girlfriend is great, but that is not an obvious commitment that you are going to be with this man and spend the rest of your life with him. And it is not even a sign that you will actually be his wife. You are his wife when you are his wife, and you should not start acting like it before then. You should also not be giving this man your body. before you are his wife, okay? Because the problem with that and the reason that I say that is it's, yes, it is a thing to be honoring of God, but I think people forget that everything that God commands and lays out for us is not so that we can live in bondage. It's for our own protection. It's just like your parents. Your parents will have a curfew for you, not because they never want you to have fun. They want you to have good, decent, safe fun at a godly hour. They want you in that house after hours, okay? Because what can happen at night, what can happen while your parents are asleep or you just outside when it's dark? Like, what are you doing out there, you know? And it's not to say dangerous things can happen to you whether or not you are doing the things that are honoring of God. But what I'm saying is, because life is always going to life, right? Like, you can be a woman who is keeping herself and a man can still find himself taking advantage of you and forcing entry, if you get what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is to willingly allow that sort of thing to happen and you actually have a choice in the matter. That's what we're discussing here. So don't get carried away on the countless examples of what could happen if and what if this. What I'm saying here is you don't purposely and intentionally put yourself in those situations. In the same way that God would have a standard for us, our parents have a standard for us, we should have a standard for ourselves. And you should not be going out on a limb and overextending yourself for a man that you're not married to, because there will be plenty of time for you to be accommodating and sweet and loving and submitted to a man. Don't do it when he's not your husband. This is actually how a lot of women end up bitter and filled with resentment. You end up committing to these unworthy men, right? And in these relationships with these unworthy men, you get hurt, you get let down, you get betrayed, and you have given everything to this man. So you feel like, oh, all men are like this. I'm not going to do that again. So you end up having this unhealthy relationship when you're not supposed to, and then being disappointed at the consequences of how it played out. So it's more so that we would not face the heartache, the disappointment, the betrayal, if we don't allow ourselves to be committed to these men in the first place. And again, this is not to say that you won't get into a marriage and you have some sort of suffering or trials with your husband. But what I'm saying is many women, the reason that they're so scarred by the time, if they ever make it to marriage, is because they have continuously gone out on a limb and acted like wives to men that were not their husbands. And now that bitterness, that resentment, that I remember when he did this, is building up, because it's much easier to walk away when you're not as overly involved with this man. When you start having sex with this man, you start playing house with this man, you start investing in this man in all these ways, you're going to be like, oh, I put in too much. Nah, we're locked in. Let's work it out. Whereas if you honor yourself and you allow this man to love you and show that he cares about you, and you also love and show kindness and show that you care about him without acting like his wife, when it hits the fan and the relationship ends and you see some red flag stuff, you're like, okay, no harm, no foul. You have a great life, sir. Love you from a distance, brother in Christ. And you step, right? But we have to make sure that we are only giving that sort of access to a man, the commitment, the mild mothering, and not in an unhealthy way. The mild mothering, I mean, taking care of him. You don't want to be your husband's mother. The way that you would commit to him, giving him your body, giving him access to the things of your mind, the desires of your heart. Those are benefits of a husband. Okay. So we want to make sure that we're not committing to unworthy men, because when we do, we set ourselves up for failure long term, not just with that particular man, but because we then have jaded interactions and we start to think about every man in that way. And then we just repeat the cycle, and then we start to devalue marriage. But really, we're devaluing marriage because we've allowed ourselves to be hurt by the same cycle of men over and over, right? The next one is not putting God first. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's like, we have to understand that. And a lot of times we will say, oh, I love the Lord. You know, I'm seeking God on how to get my husband. But even if you're doing something like that, when you're seeking God on how to get something done, you're not putting God first. You're putting the desires of your heart first. But when you seek God and you seek after his heart and you seek his will for your life, your desires will match his will. And you will get the things that you want because he's going to help you. But what we have to stop doing is practicing witchcraft and manipulation to try to get the things that we want out of God. We seek God for answers, not for a relationship. And it sounds like, it's such a trivial thing, but we have to consider the interactions that we have with people. We have to consider the interactions that we have with men. And very often, even if it's a man that you're dating, or even if it's a man that you are engaged to, your prayers may be, let this man marry me. When your prayers need to be to let God's will be done. When your prayers need to be to let me honor myself in this relationship. Help him to show up as the man that he's called to be. Don't try to control the outcome. When we put God first and we seek what he wants for our lives, we will be so much more fulfilled in these aspects of life, y'all, because God doesn't just have a plan for us to be married. He doesn't just have a plan for us to be a good woman. He has a plan for all aspects of our life. And when we stop focusing so much on getting and maintaining and keeping a relationship, we can focus on our womanhood. Because sometimes you may be dating someone and that's just something that you're supposed to learn. Maybe that person is supposed to be in your life to help you through something in particular. He's not supposed to be your husband. And if you're so busy trying to make God bend and fold and say, God, let him marry me, let him marry me, the enemy will send you something disguised as an angel of light. And you'll think it's God and you end up marrying it. So we don't want to do that. We want to put God first. We want to be honoring of God. We want to make sure that we're seeking after what he has for us and what his will is for our life, and not just the desires of our own heart, like I said. Another thing is lowering our standards or just not having them altogether. This is big, and I see this very often in relationships, and I think we've all been guilty of it. And I want to start by saying I am a person who has said time and time again, it is very important for us to forgive people, to offer grace to people. But that does not mean that we have to lower our standards. Okay? When we forgive and when we offer grace, we are not lowering our standards. We are forgiving people so that we're not holding on to bitterness and resentment. But we are also keeping a watchful eye to understand the capacity of those people. If I forgive you for doing something and I come to realize this is just how this person is, I don't have to lower my standard to allow you back into my life. I don't even have to lower my standard to forgive you. There's no standard lowered in order to offer forgiveness. I forgive you. I'm not holding it against you. There's no bitterness and resentment in my heart, but you no longer have access to me. And that's the difference. I think sometimes when people get that confused when I talk about offering grace and forgiveness. Sometimes it is reconciling. Sometimes it is saying, you know, you really hurt me and I'm willing to forgive you and I want to rebuild this situation and I want to rebuild this trust. But sometimes it's, you really hurt me and I forgive you for that because we're all human and we make mistakes. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to give you that type of access to me in my life again. You have a nice life. I love you. If you ever need anything, if you feel so compelled to say something along those lines. But most of the people, all of the people that I've forgiven in my life, I have not completely cut those people off per se. If they ever need anything, if there's ever anything that I can do for those people, I will. And that doesn't make me a doormat. That doesn't mean that I lowered my standards. That just makes me a decent, kind person. If I can help anybody, I will, whether you hurt me or not. If I can help a person on the street, I will, whether you've done me wrong or not, right? If I can help you, I will. However, if I have decided that I need to limit your access to my life, I will help you, but that doesn't mean that you get to be in the inner workings of my life all the time. So that's something that you need to consider with this conversation of lowering standards. But this is important too, because sometimes we see, oh, this didn't work. I had 10 relationships and it didn't work out, or whatever the case may be. You start to feel like maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I need to lower my standards. And maybe you do if your standards are like, oh, he's 7 feet tall and he has a full head of hair. And if your standards are all physical, you need to review your standards, because your standards should be the inner man and the working of the heart. Okay. And I'm not just saying for relationships, even when it comes to your friendships, if you're like, I want friends who look like this and who do this and who dress like this and who do that, that's a bit shallow. And I'm not saying it's not okay to have some of those be your standards, but if that's all the standards, friend, what are we doing? But the point that I'm making here is when you have failed friendships, failed relationships with men, you start to convince yourself that maybe I need to be more accommodating. Maybe I need to lower my standards, or I'm going to end up alone. And there is truth in that. You may need to revisit what it is that you're requesting of people, but you do not lower the standards of characteristics. You can change your standards of physical attributes, because beauty fades anyway. That handsome man may not be as handsome when he gets wrinkly and gray, okay? Yes, we want something nice to look at. Yes, we want to be attracted to the people in our lives. Yes, we want to have pretty friends. If we're pretty, we want to hang out with pretty girls, all the things. But you need to be more stuck on the characteristics of, is this person a person of God? Do they have virtue? Do they have integrity? Are they honest? Are they trustworthy? Can I depend on this person? Those are the things you need to be unwavering in. And those are the things that you don't need to compromise. If you dated three guys back to back and they all cheated on you, you don't lower your standard to say, oh, all men are going to cheat. You can look at yourself and say, what is it that I'm welcoming that makes them think that that's okay? Maybe I need to work on that, okay? But you don't need to change your standard and allow just anything because you're afraid of ending up alone. Giving grace to the people around us is great, but even when we're offering forgiveness, it does not always mean that we reconcile, okay? So you don't need to lower your standards to accommodate people. You want to be unmoving and uncompromising as a woman, as a single woman. What I always say is be strict. Be strict as a single woman so that you don't have to suffer as a wife. And this is so important. Have standards. At the first glimpse of a red flag, don't give that man a second chance. Don't ever give him the opportunity to think that it's sweet over here and he can do whatever he wants. Because that is often what plays out in relationships, and then it carries over into your marriage. It starts in the dating, and then you allow it to happen, and it carries over into marriage, and you're trying to change a man that you've already accepted before you said, I do. So it's really important to not lower your standards. And then the last one is not advocating for yourself. You know, a lot of times we focus so much on if he wanted to, he would, or they should just know, or people understand, people know what they're doing. And to a certain extent, absolutely, people know when they're being intentionally deviant. But there are certain things that people don't know, even if you think they do. Common sense is not as common as we think it is. Everybody didn't come up in the experiences that we had. And one thing that I will say is if you find that somebody does not know these things and it irritates you, you need to not get married to them. They can be a great person, but maybe they don't understand the etiquette that you've grown up with. Well, you need to find somebody closer to your social class instead of trying to berate that person. But when it comes to advocating for yourself, one example that I like to give is in my relationship, when I first got married, my husband would buy flowers. And this wasn't even when we were married, we were dating. He would buy flowers. I remember first, like Valentine's Day that we actually celebrated, he gave me flowers. And he brought me flowers at work one time. And one time I came over to his house and he had flowers for me. And I thought it was a beautiful gesture, but I remember telling him at some point, like I would always thank him. And I remember telling him at some point, I asked him, like, why do you always give me flowers? And he told me, and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, I appreciate the gesture. But I really, like, I don't think that flowers are a good symbol of how you care about somebody, because flowers die. And this was, I was young when I met my husband, okay? Forgive me. And so I told him that I prefer edible arrangements. And so ever since then, he started buying me edible arrangements. And this went on for years. And within the past 2 years, I started buying flowers for the house. So I would have, like, vases and things around the house. And one day, and this is not something I pointed out to him, he just was observant. But one day he said, he was like, when did you start liking flowers? You always tell me you don't like flowers. That's why I buy you edible arrangements. What is this? And so I was like, I don't know. I think that they're pretty. I like flowers. You know, things change, people change. And that was a way for me to quietly advocate for myself. Like, this is what I like now. And I made it clear to him, like, listen, I still love edible arrangements. I just buy flowers for the house because I think they're pretty. Yes, they die, but I just buy more every week, right? And so when he went out to the store the next time, he actually ended up buying the flowers and I didn't have to. And I thought that that was really nice. So sometimes, obviously, in that example, my husband had good intentions from the beginning. He wanted to do something nice for me, but he did something generic because he was getting to know me. So he was just buying flowers because that's the thing that you do for a woman that you love or you appreciate, right? But until I opened my mouth and said, hey, this is what I like, he didn't do anything different. And if I never said anything, he would probably still have been buying flowers all that time instead of edible arrangements. And now him being observant, he's able to see, like, oh, now you like flowers too. So I can buy flowers for the house, but I can also give you edible arrangements for your own little treats. Right. And I think that that's something that is a good example of that. Sometimes you might have preferences that you need to just advocate. Sometimes there may be things that are normally acceptable and normal, but you find them abnormal and annoying, and you need to advocate for yourself in that regard. So if a man makes a joke and normally it's like a, it's a thing. People laugh. Maybe you're offended by it, or maybe you don't like that type of humor. You can advocate for yourself. Now, advocating for yourself sometimes mean that those people are kick punched out of your life, right? Sometimes it means that your values and your morals don't align. You should still advocate for yourself, but we can't rely on people just reading our mind, or, oh, they should just know. People should know how to be a decent human being. But when it comes to your preferences and the things that you would rather, people don't always know, and you need to be willing to advocate for yourself in that way. And so these are things that we do to sabotage ourselves as women. And if we learn to pay close attention to them and stop doing them, we would have a better experience in our womanhood as single women, but also even as married women. Now, as married women, there are certain things that you can't necessarily change and expect your husband to do. This is why this is something that I continue to preach to single women, because the ball is in your court. You have all the power in your hand to dictate what your life looks like. Once you make allowances and you start to accept things, you cannot get into a marriage and start complaining about the things that you decided to accept. So it's really important that we consider these things. If you are really struggling with this, or you want to work with me in that regard of how to properly stop sabotaging yourself, I encourage you to join the Womanhood series. There's going to be a link on all platforms. I will actually put a link in the description of these podcast episodes so that you can click it to see what's going on with that. There are different tiers, but it is going to be a good time. I had been plotting on what I could put together for the single ladies, and I finally got the idea of how to bring it all together. Because the goal is not to help you to thrive as a single woman so much as it is to thrive as a woman of God. The goal is not to help you to find a husband. The goal is to help you to be a woman worthy of a good husband. And the rest will work itself out. If you learn to value yourself, if you learn to stop sabotaging yourself, you will be much better off. So if you're interested in working with me in that regard, go ahead and enroll for the next session, and I will see you soon. Otherwise, I will see you soon on all the platforms, and maybe even in the next episode.